During this sermon in three movements, I want to remind you to follow along with the passages of Scripture and the lyrics as you'll find them printed in your bulletin, or for those of you who are joining us online, they are printed on your screen. Be patient and be present and wait for the divine. Let us listen together for God to speak. As the deer longs for flowing streams, so my soul longs for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and behold the face of God? My tears have been my food, day and night, while people continually say to me, "Where is your God?"
Wellen mich für sie. Sturm und Wellen mich für sie. Wellen mich für sie. Thank you.
Here I sink to the ground. There I gaze into the gorge of hell. Tears have been my food day and night. As troubling as these words may seem, there is something so familiar about them. And that something is despair. Oh, despair. Your presence is a constant these days. You are carried upon our shoulders, our back bent beneath your weight. How we long for your heavy presence to go away, and yet when we wake, you are still there, found around every corner, haunting the edges of our days and torturing the boundaries of our nights. Each of us feel your weight differently, but we feel you there. Our headlines constantly remind us of your presence, the lingering shadow of the pandemic and new variants, the ever-present effects of systemic oppression, division in our neighborhoods and in our homes, hatred of those we fail to understand, our tainted history, our uncertain future, racism, injustices, violence, death, loss, diagnoses, disease, uncertainty, the unknown, despair. There's so much to carry. It seems like an unraveling, a coming apart. It feels antithetical to faith to admit that we are troubled by you. Yet we only lie to ourselves if we pretend that you aren't there. A painted-on smile, a saccharine over-spiritualized response only hide your presence from us for a brief moment. When they fade, you are there. Perhaps the thing to do is to give you a name, to discover where you are located, where you sit in our bodies, where you take up residence in our minds. Perhaps the faithful thing to do is to follow the example of the psalmist and name the places where you dwell, despair. Now, there are those who would tell us that our faith is lacking because of our feelings of despair, that somehow we aren't doing faith right, that faith and despair are binaries that cannot exist together. But what they may not know and may never come to understand is that our faith could not be any deeper or tangibly real. For being willing to feel this despair, to name where it resides, is in itself an act of faith. And if we listen to the words of the poet, we find despair spilling out of the pen of the psalmist. The profound and prophetic words seem to proclaim that naming despair itself is an act of faith, not its antithesis. This raw honesty is, in fact, a part of the journey. Faith doesn't ask us to never feel despair. Faith compels us to continue moving, to continue living in the midst of its presence. Our experience reminds us that despair is there. Our faith becomes more tangible when lived in its midst. Yes, despair is present, but it isn't all there is.
These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I went with the throng and led them in procession to the house of God, with glad shouts and songs of thanksgiving, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my help and my God. My soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the thunder of your cataracts. All your waves and your billows have gone over me. By day, the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I walk about mournfully because the enemy oppresses me? As with a deadly wound in my body, my adversaries taunt me, while they say to me continually, where is your God?
Mein Gott,
Why have we been forgotten? Why have we forgotten? Why do you trouble yourself, my soul? Why are you so restless in me? We wait. But often, the wait feels empty. A long, desperate stare into what can seem like nothingness, searching for someone, anyone, who might transform the place in which we find ourselves. And echoing through this stale, heavy air, we hear the voice of the adversary shout mockingly in our ear, "Where is your God?" The voice is familiar. It's been heard many times before, for it simultaneously comes from without as well as from within. Yes, we are no stranger to this powerful and insidious voice, and sometimes crying out against it for God feels like nothing more than trying to outshout a hurricane. Or perhaps it's a small whisper of resignation spoken into the wind. Where are you? In the face of such trying times, in these moments of deep despair, we may indeed find ourselves often wondering, where are you, God? And like despair, perhaps understanding our longing, our haunting questions of absence as the opposite of faith is actually a falsehood, an untrue binary, an unnecessary either or that does nothing but lead us to personal shame. What if instead we could see this query as faith in its raw honesty? For isn't there more to the inquiry than questioning the existence of God? Isn't this line of questioning more about the manner in which we understand the divine? Perhaps the faithful thing to do is to again follow the example of the psalmist and name the places where and the moments when we experience the absence. Maybe, just maybe, that will lead us into an exploration of how we perceive the divine, an examination of who this God is in whom we say we believe, a questioning of how we understand God to be at work in the world and in our lives. And perhaps we will discover that what we are missing isn't the divine at all. Perhaps what we are missing is the God we fashioned, the divine we convinced ourselves we wanted and somehow even deserved. And then we found it all lacking. But if we follow the psalmist's lead, we may find that the fact that we cry out in our despair and in the face of felt absence is an act of faith. And if we learn to quiet the noise, if we listen deeper than the anxiety-filled shouts found on the surface, if we lean in and hush our own internal murmurings, the thundering cataracts and the billowing waves, if we follow the lead of the psalmist and admit the absence we feel, listening as the deep calls out to the deep, we will hear a whisper of assurance that even in the felt absence, there is something more. Our experience reminds us the absence is real. The felt absence is there, but it isn't all there is.
Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my help and my God.
Erfreue dich, Seele, erfreue dich, Herz. Erfreue dich, Herze, entweiche nun, Kummer, verschwinde du Schmerze, entweiche nun, Kummer, verschwinde du Schmerze. Erfreue dich, Seele, erfreue dich, Herze, erfreue dich, Seele, erfreue dich, Herze, entweiche nun, Kummer, verschwinde du Schmerze, entweiche nun, Kummer, verschwinde du Schmerze, entweiche nun, Kummer, verschwinde du Schmerze. Verwandle dich, Weine, in lauteren Wein, verwandle dich, Weine, in lauteren Wein, es wird nun mein Ächten ein Jauchzen nur sein. Es brennet und flammet die reineste Kerze der Liebe des Tröstes in Seele und Brust, weil Jesus mittröstet mit himmlischer Lust, weil Jesus mittröstet mit himmlischer Lust. Erfreue dich, Seele, erfreue dich, Herz. Erfreue dich, Seele, erfreue dich, Herz. Entweiche nun, Kummer, verschwinde du Schmerz. Entweiche nun, Kummer, verschwinde du Schmerz. Erfreue dich, Seele, erfreue dich, Herz. Erfreue dich, Seele, erfreue dich, Herze, entweiche nun, Kummer, verschwinde du Schmerze, entweiche nun, Kummer, verschwinde du Schmerze, entweiche nun, Kummer, verschwinde du Schmerze.
Underneath it all, deeper than the depths of our despair, beyond the felt absence and the questions of divine presence, lies something else. It is metronomic, a constant rhythm, a most often unnoticed beat that compels us, that draws us, that pulls us forward towards something more, something different. We can hear it, we can feel it in the beauty and in the anguish of the words of the psalmist. In their naked honesty, in their raw humanity, we discover solidarity with everyone else. And in those words, we meet our very selves. The psalmist calls us back to consider our own lives, to the beauty of the mundane, the joy, the pain of our daily existence. And in these words, we see ourselves reflected back to us. In them, we hear our own voice reverberating throughout time. We may want to look away, to hide our eyes from their painful and brutal honesty, but there, right there in these words, we are reminded that we have never really ever been alone. Through the poetic retelling of their own experience, the psalmist gives us gentle yet bold reminders of the presence of the divine in the midst. These words are a prophetic proclamation of God's steadfast love, which never abandons us, but has been and will continue to be persistently present all along, with us in our very real moments of despair and our tangible experiences of felt absence. We heard the psalmist say, "By day the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night his song is with us, a prayer to the God of our lives." This, my friends, is hope. It's not manufactured, simple, wishful thinking. No, this hope is real. This hope accompanies us into the depth of our despair, into the intensity of our feelings of absence, and in the midst of all the confusing, confounding in-betweens. Hope is found here in the brutal honesty of our humanity, where we become human and God is discovered as the divine. This is right where we experience wholeness. And this hope, it can be found all around us, found in the mystery of the ordinary of every day. Hope is the flower that grows in the cracks of the sidewalk. Hope is the scent of spring in the air after a long, brutal winter. Hope is laughter on the front porch swing. Hope is the deer longing for flowing streams, confident that one day they will return. Hope is the song sung from the depths of despair. Hope is the defiant voice that quivers when it boldly says, "No more." Hope is the poet who writes anyway. Hope is the gathering after 18 months of separation. Hope is weaving together when it feels like it is all coming apart. Hope is resilience in light of and in spite of circumstance. Hope is memory in the presence of absence. Hope is the Spirit interceding when we know not how to pray. Hope is where steadfast love and mercy kiss. Hope is the nuance of life in between. Hope is life in the midst. Hope is the name we give to the divine who always meets us here, no matter where here may be. Hope is the name of the God who can handle our whole selves, our despair, as well as our feelings of divine absence. Hope is found in the God who holds us in our moments of incongruity and seeming contradiction. Hope is a God who meets us right here. This is hope. Hope always is. And hope holds us all together. Amen.